Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is your host for tonight, Yolanda Henderson, Evangelist Yolanda Henderson, also your holistic health coach. And I am joining you tonight with What Thus Says the Lord, talking about planting spiritual seeds. And this is part two of a five-part series. And I am blessed and glad to be with you all tonight. Glad to see another day. Hope everyone had a marvelous day today and is praising God like I've been praising God all day long for just everything that God has done in my life, in my family's life, and is going to continue to do, and I have faith that He will do. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about what we're going to talk about tonight. We're talking about the parable of the sower and the reaper tonight. We're going to be talking about the types of soil, okay, and what type of soil are you. So if you don't mind, you can go ahead and grab a friend, get your Bibles ready, call someone up, tell them that I am live and on the air, and I am ready to talk about what information that I've researched from the Bible to give to you tonight. So I'm excited, and I do want to go ahead and start with the prayer. Because like I said before on all my episodes, it's good to start everything with prayer and supplication to God. I want God to use me as a vessel, for it's not my information, it's the Lord's information. All right, so if everyone could come into agreement with me tonight on prayer and bowing heads and humbling our hearts. We thank you, God, tonight for this opportunity to speak before your multitude, Father God. I pray that whatever is said, God, that it be a pleasing to your word and to your will, God. I pray that my life is made a reflection of your word, Father God, and that you transform my heart and my mind, that it may be in will with yours, Father God. I pray for everyone on the line tonight. Pray for their safety. Pray for their blessings, God. If there's anything that's going on in their lives, Father God, I pray that you touch right now in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for just giving me the opportunity just to speak to your people, Father God. Let what I say, God, be willingly and righteously used in your manner and in your will, Father God. I thank you tonight, and I praise your name in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so like I said before, I pray that this message be for someone online tonight. And if you have anyone that you'd like to call up and tell them that we're on the air and that we're talking about planting spiritual seeds tonight. All right, so let's go ahead and start right in. I do have my guest speaker tonight, Mr. Normal Henderson, and he will give us a word of prayer or a word of advice later on in the show, maybe the last part of our show tonight. I want to thank God for using him and being obedient to your word, God, and just allowing him to speak and using him to speak your will, Father God. Okay. Let's get started. So last week we talked about planting and reaping. We talked about the types of seeds. We talked about how seeds are made and what they're used for. And we talked about a lot of different things about seeds. We talked about the spiritual seeds, we talked about the natural seeds, the seeds as far as bringing forth children and offspring. We talked about seeds of life, okay? We talked about even Satan having seeds. We talked about the right seeds and the wrong seeds. We talked about how seeds are beneficial to our everyday life. So today we're going to talk about understanding the seed and going to the Bible about the sower and the reaper. Okay? All right. So, if you could turn to your Bibles and we're going to talk about the seeds from a new perspective that's important to know. So Jesus taught us many things when he was here physically on earth. However, he placed an extraordinary emphasis on the certain subject as being key to understanding all other subjects found in the Bible. So Jesus says that this one concept and he taught was more important to understand than any of the others found in the Bible, okay? So this is a critical subject and it was based upon seeds. And you can find this teaching in three books of the gospel, in Luke 8, in Matthew 13, and in Mark 4. So we're going to start in Mark 4. So turn with me, if you do have your Bibles, to Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And he says, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground." This lesson is about the kingdom of God. So right off the bat, we know of the great importance, okay? We understand it is a spiritual kingdom, and it's not a physical or natural kingdom, okay? And so, and we talked about the types of spiritual and a natural, talking from a supernatural or natural, I'm sorry, a natural or a supernatural, which supernatural is equivalent to saying the spirit or being spiritual or having your spirituality. Okay, so we know that those are the basics, and knowing that God's kingdom, which he talks about in the Bible, is important, is very important, because one day we want to go to the kingdom of God. We want to work in the kingdom of God, in the spiritual realm, so that we can have and reap those benefits, because we already know and are told that the physical world will pass away. Okay, so, and then as far as our bodies are concerned, we have a physical being our spiritual and our body and our natural, which is the actual temple or the body that we live in. And we know that those natural forms of our bodies do die, but our spirits are eternal. Okay, so God is saying that what the kingdom of God is like. So clearly he says, it is like a man who plants the seed into the ground. Jesus is teaching using the format of a parable that contains natural things that we can see to help us explain spiritual things that we cannot see. So when consider this, is Jesus a man? Is Jesus the man that the parable is referring to? And for myself, I think back and I believe that when Jesus was on earth, he was exactly this man. Since Jesus has returned to heaven, it gets more complicated. So Jesus is still the man, but since he is not here physically anymore, he uses people like me who are on the planet. So while I'm not God, I'm used by God as a tool or as a vessel. So I want you to see that God still uses people today to reach other people. So going back to Mark chapter 4, okay, verse 3, we discover the key seed lesson that Jesus wants you to see. Mark 4 and 3 says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." Okay. Jesus informs us that a sower went out to sow. When you sow, you're doing what? Of course, you're planting seeds in a field or a garden. Okay. In the natural, we know that when we are sowing, that's what that means. Sowing involves a spreading of seeds into the ground. So Jesus is discussing a farming lesson, and I want to jump down and explain that the parable that is important stuff that we need to see while we're studying the actual parable about seeds is what Jesus says about the parable being a key to understanding all others. All right? And in Mark 4 and 13, it says, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" Okay? So it would appear to me that if you can understand this particular parable, then you are at the crossroads of understanding every parable that Jesus has taught. This has vast implications attached to it. So you have to pay attention to what I'm saying. See here, Jesus' explanation of what the sower is and what the seed is. In Mark 4 and verse 14, the sower soweth the word. So that's what that says, okay? If you don't believe me, open up your Bibles, Mark 4 and verse 14. Now, Jesus began to let us in on a secret. The sower is planting words, not just any words, though these are the words of God according to Luke 8 and 11. However, we can understand the concept that any word spoken can become seeds. The problem is that many of these words are lies and have truths and thus planting wrong seeds. Only God's word is absolute truth. What we have discovered is that words are seeds. So we can also say seeds are words. We can also see that a sower is anyone that opens his or her mouth and speak words. So how do Genesis seed laws apply to words? Okay, so we have clearly learned that seeds always produce after their kind. What is the word of God's kind? What kind does the word of God produce? We have also learned that the seeds are always in itself. So let's examine some more of the parable in Mark 4 in verse 4. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. What Jesus does is give us some new related topics about the planting of the seed words. However, Jesus starts to shift the focus off the sower and the seed, and they are not technically mentioned after the beginning. Jesus begins to describe the types of soil or ground that are being planted in. Jesus also starts to reveal that the soil, the seed, and the sower all have enemies. Everyone has enemies. The fowls of the air come to devour the seed and thus render them harmless, non-productive, or ineffective. Have that ever happened to you? Have you ever said something and someone else walked around you 5 minutes later and went back and uprooted what you told someone? Like you were telling them the exact truth, telling them what they needed to hear, telling them what God says, and then somebody come around, most likely the devil, and says, you know what, you don't have to listen to that. That's not how you have to live. That wasn't true, when clearly that's what the Bible says. You have to be careful about how the fowls or those enemies come back and try to uproot those good seeds that God tries to plant in our lives. Okay? So, since the parable that I'm speaking of involves symbolic natural representations, like what I just said, we know that the birds of the air represent spiritual beings that we cannot see or perceive with our natural senses. So we're going to take a look at what the Bible says in the explanation of Jesus for these new symbolic factors given to us. Mark 4, 15 says, "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. The Bible said it as well. So I didn't just say what I was meaning to say about the meaning of this. The Bible clearly says that Satan cometh immediately afterwards to take away the word that is sown in our hearts. All right? Where did I get this from? Somebody make that up? Why would a seed sown after a good seed reap bad? Why would you not believe what the word says if it's not saying anything? All right, I am back on the air, but we have some technical difficulties, so I'm going to start on in and get started back where I left off. And if anybody want to call in, the guest call-in number is 516-531-9837. We're talking about spiritual seeds, planting spiritual seeds from the Bible. All right, and I am your host tonight, Yolanda Henderson, and I am going to continue where I left off, okay? We just talked about Mark 4 and 5, Mark 4 and 6, Mark 4 and 7, Mark 4 and 8, and the devil is real busy. He did not want me to continue with this call, but I am, and by the grace of God, going to continue and talk about God's goal for giving us his seeds, okay? And so I was saying that the majority of the parable and the lessons of why people either produce this fruit or why they are unable to produce fruit. Okay, so like I said, that's why you can understand Satan has dominated the TV and the radio airwaves, which lies and perversions are. I guess we will stop and examine the soil in more detail. So I'm going to talk about the types of soil. There are actually six different types of soil listed in the parable, okay? They're generally representative of four types of people on the planet, and the list of soil types does not exclude anyone. If you analyze the list closely, you can see that there are actually two groups of three that are being mentioned. There are three soils that are representative of saved fruit Christians and three soils that did not receive the seed and let it produce any fruit at all. Okay, so the types of soil are the wayside, the stony ground, the among the thorns, and the good soil. Okay, the description of the wayside soil, these are those that can hear, but that do not understand what is said. Therefore, Satan can steal the truth away from them very easily. So what I'm saying to you, if you cannot understand what I'm saying, don't get to grasp the concept, don't understand about the sower and the reaper, the good soil, the wayside soil, then that's the way for Satan to come in and make you say, oh, I don't get this God stuff, I don't get the Bible, I can't understand it, so just forget it. Okay? That's the tactic that Satan uses to steal the truth away from you. Satan does come to steal, to kill, and destroy. The stony ground. These are those that turn away because of the affliction or the persecution. They lack any depth or foundational root knowledge. They are easily offended. Okay? So if you are fearful because you want to be saved or you want to know the word of God and you want to do the right thing because of what others are telling you, then this may be you. You may be among stony ground. Okay, you're easily offended by the word or by what others have to say about you, then there might be a problem. Stony ground is what they call that type of soil. Among thorns, these are those that care more about the things in the world, the distraction of riches, and the natural lust of the world to get deeply rooted in the soil, the good soil. They're among thorns. Are you a type of person that live among the thorns? I hope not. I pray for you that you are not one of the ones that are among the thorns, and that natural lust of the world and riches is not what motivates your soul. The good soul, the good soil. These are those that produce fruit. A return of seed is multiplied to produce a bountiful supply, some 30 times, some 60 times, and some 100 times, okay? You're producing fruit, which is you're bringing people to God. You're making disciples. You're teaching. You're producing what the seed that you're planting is producing something. It's something coming out of it, something good. You're speaking truth. If somebody's hearing and actually listening somewhere. So we can learn the significant amount of information about why some people produce fruit and others are unable to. Why? What have we learned? We've learned that God uses people to teach the word of God and that those that are sowing good seeds. However, we also learned that this good seed has many enemies. These things are designed to keep you from hearing and understanding the truth. Satan is hard at work trying to keep people from bearing spiritual fruit for God. God is looking for spiritual fruit of the earth, and that is one of the key factors that is keeping him from returning to us today. God sees the harvest in the field potentially great on the earth, and God wants everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth of God's word, says 2 Peter 3:9. The Bible says that God has long patience for this spiritual harvest of fruit, which is found in James 5:7. Here are the symbolic elements listed in the parable and the descriptive meaning of each. Symbol, we have the seeds, which means the spoken words or word. The sower is one who teaches with words. The sowing, the process of teaching people. Soil, the hearts are the spirits of the people. Wayside ground, which I mentioned earlier, those who are easily deceived, they have no understanding and barely hear it at all. Stony ground, those that are easily tricked, convinced that those that have only a shallow understanding, and those that cave to pressure, and those who are easily offended. Good ground, those that hear and understand the word of God and do not allow Satan allow it to be stolen from them. Evil ground, those that are deceived, lost, and asleep in the darkness. Roots, those who have strong foundation of the word of God and are able to drink and partake of the Spirit of God. Birds of the air, spiritual enemies that try to take the truth from you. Satan and his demons. Thorns, natural and carnal things that take your attention away from the truth. It can be from money to sex to drugs to alcohol to food and to fame. Unfruitful, those who are spiritually barren are unable to produce spiritual fruit because those who are nigh to burning. Fruitful, spiritual growth and maturity, those who are doers of the word of God and not hearers only. Fruit, spiritual results of those which God is seeking to find and harvest into his barn. So, you can see that there are many valuable things to learn from this parable. Seeds play a key role in the spirit of the kingdom of God. Seed laws play a key role in understanding his teaching. God's word will always produce more people like God. Those that let God's word in will grow and mature to be like the one that gave us these seed words. It is a spiritual seed law of Genesis repeated in the spiritual dimension. A seed will always, always, always produce after its own kind. The planting of God's spiritual seed will always produce a spiritual harvest. I think I will end the lesson here because I've done spoke on so much and take some callers and ask if anyone would like to have a word on anything that I've said. The line is open. The call-in line is 516-531-9837. 516-531-9837. Go ahead and call us if you have any questions or concerns. And we'll talk about what kind of spiritual seed or soil are you. I'll go back over those soils again in just a moment. But right now, take a quick break and I'll listen for some callers. Thank you so much for listening. All right. Thank you for your listening. Thank you for joining me tonight talking about planting spiritual seeds. Now, we've talked about types of symbols. We've talked on the types of soil. We read the parable coming from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. And I will reread them in case you're just joining me tonight. And we're talking about the parable of the Bible about sowing and reaping. And the Bible says, "And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth." And then verse 6 says, "But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit." Mark 4 and 8 says, "Others fell on good ground and did yield spiritual fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Okay, so we were talking about in the spirit, not naturally sowing. We're talking about spiritual, because the Bible is spiritual and the parable is a lesson. So why people either produce this or why they are unable to produce fruit at all. Okay, so like I was saying, if you know anything about farming, you know that soil is not the master of the seed, but that the seed is the master of the soil. So whatever is planted into the soil is that which is harvested. Okay, so do you understand? And we must understand why Satan is in control of the TV and dominates the radio and the music and the things that we're not supposed to be getting that planted soil, but we do get that soil planted in us because it's of the devil, it's of Satan, okay? And so if we're talking about the types of soil. Again, it's the wayside soil, which is those that can hear but do not understand what is being said. So when you don't understand, Satan easily steals the truth away from you very easily. In stony ground, you know that those that turn away because their afflictions or their persecutions, They lack the depth or the foundation to root the knowledge. They're more concerned with how they're prosecuted because they feel a certain way. They've been planted that evil seed for so long, and they feel like because they're being told the truth that they're prosecuted, okay? And so they don't get that knowledge. It don't get rooted and planted into their hearts. They are the ones that are easily offended, and those are the ones that says, do not judge me. Not judging you. We're judging the tactics of Satan. We're judging what Satan has already done to you. He's already sown the seeds of the enemy into your life. You're reaping what Satan has harvested inside of your heart. Okay? Then among the thorns, the seed, the sown in the soil among the thorns. These are those that care more about the things in the world and that they're distracted by their riches and the natural lust of the world. So they could say, oh, my car and my money and I have this and I have that. And they're not concerned with being fruitful for God's kingdom. Okay? Because they feel like they have everything that they need, that this natural world is going to supply them, and into eternity when their body dies and the physical being dies, they can't take anything of this world with them. Okay? The good soil. Those are those who produce fruit. A return seed is multiplied to produce a bountiful supply. Some 30, some 60, and some, the Bible says, 100 times. Okay, so I did open up the airways for anyone who had questions. We'll continue next week on planting spiritual seeds. So we can also reference this Jesus used to describe why he was here and how that he was both a physical and a spiritual seed. Okay, so we reviewed the parable of the sower and examined the symbolic elements to gain an understanding of what Jesus called the most important parable. He did call that one the most important parable of the Bible. Okay, so in learning the concepts of that parable, we can transfer much of the knowledge to other parables that Jesus has taught us in the Bible. And if you have not been reading the series or being in the lessons that I've been telling you about, then you can go back to review part one of my series, Planting Spiritual Seeds. Okay, so when I did talk about it in the part one, I talked about the natural grass seed, the natural fruit seed, the seed of a man, which is his sperm, the seed of a woman, which are her children, the seed of a man and a woman are their offspring, the word of God being the seed, okay, the seed of your mouth being your words, the body of Christ also being seed, the church being a seed, and your body being also a seed. Okay, so these are not all the seeds that are mentioned in the Bible, okay? But these are the ones that are important right now, okay? So we've gone through and we've read some verses out of the Bible about the seeds and that the law, the first law, was that a seed always produces after its own kind, okay? The second law of seeds is that the seed is always within itself, okay? Okay, so both of these concepts transferred to many other types of seeds revealed to us in the Bible, and we should understand them as well. So if you recall, I show that every future generation or descendant of a man is said to be in that man. God shows us that whatever the father did is what their descendants did also. Okay, so today I want to show you, or I want to get you to understand tonight, the meaning of the parable that Jesus has taught us about seeds. Okay, so here's another subject to begin on, is reading in Matthew 13, verse 31. All right, and we have about 15 minutes left, so I'm going to try to hurry and discuss this. And if anyone have any questions, please feel free to call us. Call-in number again is 516. I'm sorry. The guest calling number is 516-531-9837. Okay. All right. Thanks for holding. We were having some technical difficulties here, but I'm back on, and the devil is alive. We're going to keep on moving and telling you what thus says the Lord, okay? So we were reading in our Bibles, and we want everyone to join us and reading in Matthew 13 and 31. If you have a Bible with you, close by. Another parable, put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Okay, Bible talking about another seed. So, again, Jesus refers to the kingdom of heaven as being like a man who planted a seed. However, this lesson, while very similar, is very different from the previous lesson on the parable of the sower. Both are about a man, okay, and both are about seeds, and both involve planting a seed in the ground to grow something. But this time the seed is said to be singular. This is a new perspective on an old subject about a new type of seed or a new concept about the nature of seed. In the parable of the sower, the seed is representing the word of God. Okay. However, this parable, the seed is something completely different while being completely the same at the same time. Hopefully, you understand why I said that as we continue to learn. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a man that planted a seed, one seed, and it grows into a massive tree in a field. Jesus is referring to a specific seed that qualifies it to be a mustard seed. Anytime you qualify a noun, you limit the scope of the noun and narrow the meaning. In other words, you exclude every other seed for the type described. Okay? The mustard seed is not widely used in the Bible, but perhaps we'll look at some more references to it later. Okay? Mustard seed being the seed of faith. In comparison to having faith, it's a smaller seed. But we'll talk more about that in another episode. So what we're learning is a symbolic meaning that not just any type of seed will work for what God wants to accomplish. God has selected a specific seed to accomplish his plan, and we'll soon discover that Jesus was this seed. Matthew 13 and 32 says, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Jesus calls this type of seed to be the least among all seeds. Jesus could be referring to the physical size of the seed, but yet I believe that is not what he's saying. We know today that there are many seeds that are smaller seeds than a mustard seed in the world. So Jesus must be referring to something else, okay? So a symbolic characteristic and not a physical attribute to the seed. So we should learn from this verse that his most great things have a very humble beginnings. It is a classic analogy of the fact that the greatest oak tree comes from the little acorns. I know of practical nothing that starts big and just stays big. We are being presented a new perspective of the seed. All great things usually start out very small. This goes amongst human nature, doesn't it? Everyone wants to hit the lottery and win millions of dollars and then think that we'll solve all their problems one day. However, God is teaching us a different lesson using seeds. This is part of the message that Jesus is attempting to get over to us. This is some of the key reasons why the natural nation of Israel missing the first coming of their Messiah. They missed the first coming of their Messiah. Jesus did not come how they expecting him to come, nor did he do what they desired him to do. They were looking for a great and powerful Savior and not a humble man that would not even save himself. The disciples would ask Jesus, Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now? That's in Acts 1 and 6. Israel was looking for this grand restoration and not for small beginnings. This is a classic example of the misunderstanding of the importance of how seeds work. Israel did not recognize the seed of God as he walked among them. Jesus came to the earth as just a small, insignificant, humble man. Jesus was God Almighty who became like the least of all the men on the planet. Why would God Almighty take the time to wash the feet of his disciples? Why did Jesus do this? It goes back to seeds. Okay. God was planting a seed that will grow into a great spiritual kingdom and not a physical kingdom. This kingdom did not come with a natural conquering mighty force. Kingdom did not have a natural army with natural weapons. And this kingdom did not come with much pomp and exalting circumstances. In fact, this kingdom cannot be physically seen at all unless Christians choose to display it to others. So this is why Jesus said that he came to the earth. It's found in John 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of the wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Okay? This is a very deep statement about the reality of how seeds work. Okay, who is Jesus talking about? Who is the seed? You should be able to see that Jesus is the seed that he is referring to. Jesus prophesied his death, okay, his burial, and the resulting fruit. Jesus predicts that there will be much fruit, resulting fruit, that will spring forth from that planting. He predicted that there will be much fruit that will come from his death. How was Jesus able to do this? It was because Jesus understood the concept of seeds. Plant a little seed, get a great harvest. From little humble beginnings can we grow in mighty things. This is a key principle in the law that applies to what God is doing on earth through Jesus Christ. In John 12 and 24, Jesus said that a kernel of corn or seed will be alone if it does not die. Okay. I believe that God is trying to teach us that the seed of Jesus has been planted to produce more people in the world like Jesus. This is just a basic topology of how the seed produces more of itself in the earth. Just one little seed planted can produce a huge harvest over time. Okay, so some prophetic verses in the Old Testament concerning Jesus. Jeremiah 23 and 5 says, "Behold, the day is come, said the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and the justice in the earth." Okay, so the Bible, so when you read the Bible without studying it and totally miss what it said in this verse, if you do not look up the definition and the keywords, you will breeze right over it, what God is trying to teach you about it. The key word that I want you to look at is the branch. It qualified to be a righteous branch, so we know that this is Jesus. The Hebrew word for branch in this verse is a word that means sprout, spring up, or buds. These are all seed concept words. You plant a righteous seed and you get a righteous harvest. That is what God is attempting to get you to see. The coming Messiah was a seed man, okay? Another verse that prophesies about this seed of God is in Ezekiel 34 and verse 29. Again, Ezekiel 34, verses 29. "And I will rise up from them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore." Okay, so this is another verse about the coming Messiah and Israel. Missed it, okay? God is saying, "I will raise up a plant of character." The word for plant in the Hebrew meaning means something that is planted in a garden. Okay, so it sounds like a seed, right? So I wanted to show that some Old Testament examples of this coming seed so that you would not think that I just made stuff up and I'm just talking about sowing and reaping in a parable just came off the top of my head, okay? So what we learned tonight is that God planted a seed and was a lowly, humble man called Jesus Christ. But through this humble beginning, we see that the growth that has transpired over the course of 2,000 years, the Church of Jesus Christ is now greater in its strength and in numbers than any time in the past 2,000 years. So I'm a firm believer that Jesus is expecting a triumph church, a great church that has made herself ready. God has planted the original seed, and it has grown over the course of time and developed further into this great prophesied tree that the birds of the air can now build nests within. Okay? So I can explain it a little better, the difference between the parable of the sower and the parable of the mustard seed. You see that the parable of the sower, the seed of the word of God, okay, the word of God is being spread by the teaching and the preaching of Jesus Christ throughout the gospel. If you have studied the Bible, you know that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, according to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By simple laws of mathematics, we can substitute seed for a word in the verse and see that it now says John 1:1, in the beginning was the seed, and the seed was with God, and the seed was God. So knowing that those two words are meaning the same, we just substituted it, okay? From the laws of mathematics, we can apply the truth that if A equals B, then B equals A, and word equals seed, and you see the new simple truth that the seed equals a word, okay, and God is the seed, and the seed had the seed within himself. We can learn from reading this chapter following John 1:14, and the seed or the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right. Well, we've got a few minutes left. We're going to let Mr. Henderson give us a word tonight of prayer as we close. And we thank you all for listening, and we hope that you come back next week, same time, 7 p.m. Here we go.
Dear Lord, I want you to come into our life, Lord, and touch someone who might be searching for their purpose in life. Lord, I pray that you will touch their heart, Lord, and guide them, Lord, and be there for them, Lord, and just help them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
All right. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for listening and tuning in. You have to tune in next week so you can find out what else that God wants you to hear. Hope this seed, this wonderful seed, fell on some good soil tonight. Not on the rough soil, not on the stony soil, but up on the good soil that the enemy cannot steal what was planted in your heart. Thank you again for joining us, and have a blessed and good night.